This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. The weather has been...
Cool nights have returned.
Exceptionally nice the last couple
Very
of nights.
Very pleasant.
Although I think it's supposed to be warming up again next week, isn't it?
A mild Santa Ana. But as long as the nighttime temps stay, how many times have I said over?
And over. And over.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how hot it is during the day as long as I can sleep.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. There is something.
Santa Ana
something
starts
to be said for that.
Monday, correct?
Is mild that? On Monday, right. Peaking on Wednesday, I believe. And did you guys notice the clouds last night at sunset?
It was spectacular.
No,
I actually took a few pictures of them.
Coming in, me too, from the south and the moon coming up. About, you know, only 92% of the moon coming up, but, you know, that's a pretty good feat, 92%.
It was the front side, right?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, no, the clouds were spectacular. It was a beautiful night last night. We went up to the Bernardo Winery and walked around and looked at all the plants.
I was inside, so. Watching the Padres again.
Did they win?
No.
Oh.
I listened.
So that puts us a full game out of the playoff spot?
One and a half games. Back.
One and a half.
And we have to, and two teams are ahead of us now.
I listened.
The Reds and the Cardinals.
I listened to the top of the, or the bottom of the first inning.
That's all you.
On my way home from my folks, and then I just, that was it. That's all I needed to hear.
Well, I was getting back on the bandwagon, and I thought I could bring them.
And now the part of the Chargers will be played by the Padres.
Yeah.
That is so sad. They had such hope and promise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. Sorry.
No, well.
It's all good.
Davey Downer. And
all right.
Mark.
We've got classes coming up at both stores this weekend. Today, as a matter of fact, in San Diego at 9 o'clock. It's going to be Bulbs, and you said Kathleen.
Kathleen will be doing the class like her. She does every year. She will last 15 years at least. So it should be interesting.
Speaking of Bulbs, we found out a few weeks ago that our main bulb supplier is gone.
I know.
At the end of the year. But I'm not too concerned about it because did we place orders for spring or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yes, they have been placed.
But we are, I went and Googled wholesale bulbs. Wow, who knew? There's a ton of them, a ton of wholesalers
in the United States.
Yeah, but they're not wholesalers, not by our standard. At least not some of them. The one you forwarded me,
mm-hmm.
They're retailers. And their quantity breaks bring it down to
retail.
Yes.
So well, that was just one.
Yes,
there's a huge list of them. So
the folks that we've been using, what happened? They just gave up the land, or they?
No, they gave up the name because the company that owned them is still in business.
Okay.
But the brand, they gave up the brand for some reason. I don't quite know. I don't know what happened.
As more and more people are growing more and more finished bulbs and flowers, we get them now in bloom. And so fewer and fewer people are taking the time to buy the bulbs, plant the bulbs. And you look at this dry-looking brown bulb, and so many people do not see 30, 60, 90 days down the line when it's in bloom. It just, other than paper whites, which are immediately out, it's kind of been a...
It's been going downhill
for years, at least
20 years. It's been on the decline.
So now, when I first started with you guys ages ago, David had once said around the time that we were planting bulbs, he said to plant bulbs is to believe in the promise of tomorrow.
That is true.
And it's a great quote. I like it. I share that with people when they're talking about the bulbs. I think it's a way we are very impatient now. We don't have the tolerance to sit and wait for stuff. We want immediate gratification when it comes to plants.
It's all Costco's fault bringing it in. It's got to be instant. And now there are so many good growers that bring in a nice finished product, and it's not super expensive, but it's still, I still get a kick out of planting the bulbs or watching the ones that I planted years ago come up every year in my garden.
Exactly. Especially the stuff that naturalizes pretty well, like the paper whites and such. In fact, I bought a bunch of paper whites about a week ago, and I put them in the ground, and Caprice said, "Can you show me where you planted them?" I said, "No.
No.
You've got to wait for the surprise, the joy of seeing them show up in the yard."
And make sure you're or hope that your gardener doesn't weed them out of the garden for you.
That's the dirty
as
little
well.
Secret, yes.
Yep.
I got some, 2 years ago, some Mount Hood daffodils. They were after they went out of bloom, the potted ones.
Right.
I put those in the garden, and they've come up 2 years now. So this will be the third year, hopefully, if they make it. Watsonias, daffodils, the crinums, crinodonas, freesias, all those.
Right.
Dutch iris.
Oh, yeah. I have bearded iris. It's going crazy.
Speaking of, I don't even know if we should speak of bearded iris. Did anybody here make it to the iris?
I did not. I
didn't either.
I did think about it. I just never got into the
opportunity. Oh, I thought about it.
Yeah.
You know what Mama says.
Yeah.
Okay. It's paved with good intentions. But anyway.
Yeah.
We bring it back to you.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you look back, I remember 30 years ago during bulb season.
Oh, it was crazy.
The sheer volume of bulbs that we used to sell was incredible.
We had all the regular customers that would come in and buy 1,000 of this or 1,000 of that.
We used to sell ranunculus in 500 count bags.
Correct.
By color. So right. It was 500 red ranunculus at a time.
Yeah,
that's the
truth.
Yeah. Hmm? Yeah. The tulip, it was like 1,500 tulips.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Per season. He'd come in and just bag them up.
I remember sitting on the floor with a bin
and box.
Well, counting them or just looking for the biggest bulbs for people.
Yes.
You know, because the more that's there, the more you're going to get. It's all just, they're just stored energy. And so there are sometimes smaller bulbs in a box and bigger ones. And back when they were all in open bins and not packaged, you could go through and get the bestest ones.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, some of the changes that have come around. So anyway, bulb class today at 9 o'clock with Kathleen in San Diego.
Oh, that's how we got here.
And at 9:30 today, Farmer Roy from Cadence at Poway Gardens is going to be coming in and talking about fall and winter vegetable crops for you. And if anybody can teach a class on that, it's probably him.
Absolutely.
The amount of produce that he grows is staggering
in a relatively small space.
It is staggering. And speaking of the fall and winter vegetables, I was walking around through the section yesterday. We've got peas, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, yard-long Japanese beans. So if you need a 3-foot bean, we've got the we've got the plants in stock. So
And don't forget seeds. All the new seeds, the 2022 season seeds are in.
Yes.
And carrots and your favorite, Mr. Anderson.
Beets
and all the root crops and flower crops. It's it is time for those as well.
Right.
As well as the sweet peas, the flowering ones. If you want early, get the early multiflores.
Christmas, yes.
And they'll be blooming by Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then you found some Australian finger limes, hopefully.
Hopefully.
We'll see if they come in, but we should have some coming in. And it's funny, after you and I were talking about that, I went and looked, and sure enough, one of the ads for, I'm probably going to get flooded with them now, since I mentioned it.
Are you saying that your device is listening?
Yeah. They call them caviar limes. They're $50 a pound online. For Australian finger lime.
Wow.
and a decent sized tree will probably produce.
Dagnabbit, I've been giving them away for free.
Yeah. We'll probably produce a pound of fruit.
Well, yours aren't caviar limes, though.
You know, I beg your pardon.
I'm just saying.
Well, they're pretty.
It's a relatively simple citrus to grow too. It's easier than the others. At least I've found it.
So is that why I'm okay with it? Because it's relatively simple.
That's why yours is succeeding so well. No, they're easy. It's one of the easier citrus. Other than some scale on a couple branches, it's never been a problem.
I was going to say, I don't think it gets the leaf miner.
I don't remember having it on that tree.
Yeah, it's a good scale. Point. I don't remember seeing it either.
And it's a nice looking plant.
Yeah.
It looks completely different than any other citrus.
It's completely different, but it's thorny. It's hard to read. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Got to be careful around it. One of the other things that I saw that I was out walking through the citrus section yesterday was we have citrus hystrix in stock, which is used in the foliage is used
cooking,
in cooking in Indian food, and it has a really, really nice fragrance and taste to it. But the new foliage that comes out is almost black.
Yes.
It's so dark.
And we're super glossy.
Super, super shiny.
We had a gentleman come in a couple of weeks ago who brought in some limes and asked us if we could identify it. And I didn't recognize it. And he said there's something wrong with, not to identify it rather, he said there's something wrong with my lime. And I said, what type of lime tree is it? He goes, I don't know. I bought it at another store. It was a lime tree. And we went back and forth. And David had walked by and he looked at it and he said, you know what that is? And I said, no, I don't. And it that's what it was.
Hystrix.
It was Hystrix. I'd never seen the fruit on that tree before.
And he went to a blue box store.
He went to a big box store.
And he bought a lime tree.
Two of them, actually. Two.
Because it said lime on it.
And he was disappointed because he's not eating it.
Yes.
But the fruit's not good for
anything.
Probably what he wanted it for.
Well, that's like, what's the rootstock that they used to use for the Trudor flying dragon.
Flying dragon
produces fruit, but it's like solid pith. There's no real fruit to.
Yes,
fruit
but
to
you
it
know
all.
How David feels about pith, don't you?
Oh yeah, it's pithy. Yes,
it's the secret to success.
Are you talking about yourself in the third person, like Bob Dole?
I kind of was. Give me a pen.
If you haven't seen the. If you haven't seen the corpse flower in Poway, it's still growing. It's into the rafters.
It's into
now.
The rafters. Ken and I were looking at it yesterday. Next year, when we replant it, we have to put it lower because it'll go through the ceiling if we start it in the same spot.
Okay, noted. Duly noted.
We'll probably have to repot it too. It just amazes me the size of the plant that tuber produces.
Well, I'm thinking that it has something to do. It has received much more fertilizer and water this year than in past.
But it's still huge.
Oh yes,
it's
very
a
healthy
massive,
plant.
Massive
it looks
plant.
Gorgeous.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And the bulbs only was that big.
Yeah.
The stem out is
5 inches.
Probably 2/3 or half of the size of the bulb.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Well, since last weekend, also you took a trip. Up to the botanical gardens.
Yes. I think it was two weekends.
To the Bromeliad show.
Was it?
It was last weekend. Or it was last week.
Labor Day Monday I was there.
That would be last week.
It was excellent. Excellent. Yeah. That display of bromeliads and tillandsias, while not the most enormous display in the whole wide world, is spectacular in the way it's laid out, the presentation of the clusters of the plants it's amazing.
Well, the quality of the plants too. It's a beautiful, beautiful display.
Now, what did catch my eye is there's a ton of cork. There are branches that the plants are mounted on, and there's lots of little broken pieces off of it. And I'm wondering if that was in handling in setting up the display, or are people coming by and ripping off pieces of cork? Just little chunks. You didn't notice, did you?
I did not happen to notice that.
That caught my eye.
I can't imagine people rip it off.
But it was it was freshly broken. You know, it has the kind of a I don't know what color I would call it. The fresh cork color.
I know what you mean.
It hadn't grayed over like it will do. So everywhere I saw all the big chunks of cork, that caught my eye. And I think I found the variegated
Hieroglyphica?
Hieroglyphica that you're talking about.
No, that's a beautiful plant. Really, really pretty plant. So that's going to be up until the 26th, I think, of this month. So if you haven't gotten there, I would definitely go over there and take a look at it. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back.
I would submit to you that it is time of the season to plant bulbs, corms, and rhizomes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, indeed it is.
To modify the song slightly.
The time to buy them.
That's what I do. I buy them and then just leave them in the garage.
Well, yeah, I mean, but
and throw the bag away next year.
Throw the withered remains away. Yeah.
But I mean, a selection. I mean, get them now. Get them early. You don't necessarily have to plant them right away, but get them so they're. You have them to plant.
Because in a month or two.
They'll be gone.
Okay.
That's all I was getting to.
Is that all you were saying?
Yes.
Okay. I agree. And just for general purposes, we call them all bulbs, even though they're bulbs, corms, and rhizomes. It just simplifies the discussion.
It's correct. Just easier. Yeah.
Yes.
You know what seems to be slowing down, trend-wise, is...
Oh, is this a guess?
Milkweed.
I thought we'd get a chance to guess.
Oh, sorry. I'll have to come up with another one for you. Milkweed sales have backed way off. And the main reason why I say that is because we regularly have it in stock now, and we're not running out of it on a
weekly basis. Yes.
We even have it. We actually even have quite a bit of narrow leaf milkweed.
Yeah, the native.
Native one that everybody was scrambling for. We had probably 30 or 40 of them on the table out there, which is unusual.
I think we have about the same, something similar to that, yes.
I think it happens every year at this time, but I'm not certain that there's not as much activity, so there's not as many caterpillars, they're not doing as much eating, and so it slows everything down.
I haven't noticed as many monarchs flying around as I had this summer. They were all over the place this
correct.
Summer. Correct. You know, going extinct, you'd never know. At least from the amount that I had.
Yeah, we had a Pentas table, a Asclepias table, and they were all over everything out in front there.
Yeah.
I was in Rancho Santa Fe last week, and there weren't near as many caterpillars. And all the Asclepias were growing. They had leaves on them. And I think I recall a similar concern / complaint last year at this time that there's no more caterpillars. So I don't know. I think it might be seasonal.
It's cyclic.
Like allergies.
Which, you know, speaking of caterpillars is interesting because for some reason this season or this year seems to have been particularly bad for caterpillars. Monarchs aside, but just caterpillars in general. Destructive caterpillars. I've seen a ton of them this year, which isn't something that usually comes up.
But the one that we've seen a lot on is the red humped that
red
we
humps.
Saw on liquid ambers.
Yeah, be careful Googling that.
All over the liquid amber. Lots of folks are bringing in leaves or bags full of these
liquid amber and cerces.
That's true. Yes, that's right, on the cerces as well.
A lot more caterpillars than normal, but there's an easy control.
BT.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And people are buying it. Just make sure that if you have caterpillars that you do like and care for in your garden, that you keep the BT away because it doesn't know the ones you like
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, especially if you have a butterfly sanctuary in your garden, you have to be extremely careful bringing BT or even spinosad into the garden, right? Because both of those are deadly to caterpillars. And the way that, you know, just the, if you're spraying, you got to watch out for the drift. And I don't know how easy it is for BT to move throughout a landscape once it's applied in one area. What keeps it in that area, or is it, can it move?
I would imagine once it's applied, probably pretty.
I think if you put it on a single plant, it's pretty safe unless you're wildly spraying.
The drift of the breeze while you're spraying.
Yes. Yeah,
but it is incredibly effective against pretty much all caterpillars. I don't know anything anything that's immune to it. With tomatoes, it's the go-to control for tomato hornworms, and right. You know, and hornworms will get the size of your finger.
Oh,
and
man, it doesn't take much. Some of them are huge, aren't they?
And they will it'll take them out.
There are some beneficials too that you can use. Although we learned recently that praying mantis will not eat a Gulf fritillary.
No, but it'll eat one of our employees' fingers.
You want to tell that story?
Yeah, I saw that.
Which part of the story?
Well, you start it and I'll finish it.
Well, so. A coworker came up with a praying mantis on her hand, and she was saying, ow, ow, but kind of laughing or giggling at the same time.
She started out saying, ow, it's biting me, you know, jokingly.
And
with each ow, it's biting me, it got more intense.
So I did what any good observer would do. I got out my phone and took pictures of it. I did nothing to help. I just, took pictures of it.
But it went from, ow, it's hurting me, to almost a shriek of pain.
Ow, it's hurting me. And so George, rescued.
Well, we took the praying mantis off to
find a bleeding finger. It had bitten into her finger.
I was surprised. It drew blood.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so I took it outside and put it in our butterfly garden. And we have a passion vine there where there are a bunch of Gulf fritillary caterpillars. I didn't put it near the Gulf fritillary. I just pushed it onto the plant.
Yes.
And it took two or three steps away and then saw the caterpillar and just pounced on it and picked it up and started trying to bite it, and then I guess realized I don't like these, or this is not the food
spikes.
I want. It has spikes, and it went on its way. But it was probably trying to eat our coworker because it was hungry.
Well, there's a chunk of skin missing.
Yeah,
there's
it
a
was
little patch
on her.
Where it has was just
now,
eating her finger.
She found it on the tilancias inside the store, so maybe it hadn't eaten in two or three days, and that finger was the first edible.
You're lucky you didn't get your head bitten off by.
As I took it outside, it was slightly larger than me. So
that was a big.
It was pretty big.
That was a big praying mantis.
Now we've seen it. We've seen videos of it eating, catching, hummingbirds. We have pictures of it in our nursery eating bees. They've caught bees outside, but that's the first time I've seen it munching on a person.
On a human. Well, they are the what?
Opportunistic.
Opportunistic. Yep. They'll take whatever comes their way. They don't care if it helps out in the garden or not. They're kind of, and I have seen one on my hummingbird feeder before, just waiting. It never caught a hummingbird while I was there, but I've watched it try.
And you didn't move it either.
I was watching.
It was nature.
I did what I should. Yes, I got my camera out just in case.
Exactly.
And then the hummingbird left. Actually, I took it off and put it on a different part of the tree, but the hummingbird would go to one portal on one side of the feeder, and the mantis would follow it around, and then the hummingbird would see it and go the other way. And it was an interesting game of cat and mouse.
I rest easy in the fact knowing that I'm never going to get bitten by a praying mantis because I'm never going to pick one up.
I pick them up regularly, although I think I will be less likely to after witnessing that the other day.
Well, you have two hands, right?
And
so
10
if
fingers.
It starts biting on one, you could actually take your other hand and remove it yourself.
And kill it.
Well, no, you're not supposed to. Well, you, yeah.
Oh, if it's biting
me. I think just remove it is where David was going.
No, I understand that. In a perfect world, that's what we would do. But
this is. Okay, sorry.
New product that we have I know we have it in Poway. I'm assuming you have it in San Diego. Biochar?
Oh, yeah. We've had it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is basically humic acid, isn't it?
Well, it has humic acid in it. It's a soil amendment that helps invigorate, activate, feed the soil and the beneficial organisms therein. And we've had people asking for it. It's supposed to be very good when incorporated into the soil prior to planting or into pots prior to planting. Similar to the humic acid in GrowPower soil conditioner and in the GrowPower, all the GrowPower products.
And our other organics have it as well.
Is it a liquid or is it?
It's a granule.
Granulated, yeah.
Okay.
It's a large bag.
Yeah. So if you want to give that a shot, biochar is in both of the stores. Interesting fruit tree that I saw when I was out looking around yesterday. Pawpaw trees. I don't know where you found those.
I didn't.
Oh, well, I don't know how we got them. But
I don't think they're self-fertile. I think you have to have a second pawpaw to make it to get fruit.
Go ahead.
I was going to say they need acidic soil. They work better as an understory tree here.
Mm-hmm.
They're very popular back east. It's the largest native fruit in North America.
What, have you ever had it?
I had back east in Tennessee. It's like, it's almost like a, it's custardy. It's like a
cherimoya.
Like a cherimoya-ish.
Sapote?
No.
Cherimoya. Yeah, way down yonder in the pawpaw patch?
That's it. Yep.
Okay.
That's kind of a pretty tree.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. Really glossy, large foliage on it. The other thing I noticed is we have a lot of avocados in stock right now.
Yeah, we
and
have
the 15,
a lot also.
And the 15-gallon avocados, those are the nicest 15-gallon avocados I've seen in a long
time.
Yeah, so they're starting to come back. And we've got a pretty good selection of both of them, or of a lot of them.
The availabilities have increased, and demand has slowed a little
down,
bit.
Yeah.
And so we are back. We're kind of back in the fruit tree business, which for a big part of the spring,
yeah, we couldn't get them.
We couldn't get them.
Yeah. Didn't have much. Had a customer ask the other day if we had bacon avocados in stock, and I went out and looked, and we had Jim bacon, which I didn't know what the difference was, but apparently the Jim bacon is a variety of bacon avocado that can take a little bit more cold than the regular bacon avocado.
And which is a little bit cold hardy on its own, isn't it?
I thought so. But I don't think I've ever had a bacon avocado.
I had one last year. We had some really nice bacon avocado trees last year, and I bought one.
Is it in the ground yet?
No.
Okay. That was last year. You have time.
I have three of them. Not bacons.
Three avocados.
Yeah, I'll tell you which ones.
When we come back?
Maybe.
All right. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170, 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Another thing that I saw walking through the store yesterday, which I have not seen in a long time, was we got a couple of 15-gallon Thunbergia grandiflores.
Oh, 15 gallons?
15
you guys
gallons.
Grow them out or did you,
no, they came in that.
So what is a Thunbergia grandiflora?
It's a trailing vine with a beautiful blue trumpet flower on it.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
It's a really, really pretty plant.
That's what it is.
And I haven't seen that in a few years.
Yeah,
I think it's been a while.
Oh, that's weird. We don't think we have any. But that's interesting.
Well, it's unusual. What was really unusual was that it was in a 15-gallon.
Right.
In yeah. a 15-gallon container.
I like the Thunbergia, the black-eyed Susan.
A lot of,
like those. They're easy to grow. They're weeds. They are
very weedy, and they like the heat, and they grow like
crazy.
Came in on the same truck with the gorgeous 24-inch box Michaelia Champacas.
Oh, okay.
They're
gorgeous. The 24-inch box Michaelias are incredible.
We're going to send you some on Monday.
Very good. I know we have one or two still done in Point Loma from earlier in the year, but yeah, we just sold one the other day. Gorgeous plant.
Yeah. We had four beautiful ones, and they all went out in a week. They started blooming, or 2 weeks, they were all four gone.
Yeah. Couldn't walk past it without stopping and literally smelling the flowers. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's probably one of my favorite trees. Not the easiest thing to grow in San Diego, but it's a...
Do you grow it in a...
I don't have one.
Okay.
I killed mine.
My parents' neighbors have a couple of them in their yard. And you don't really see them. They're kind of hidden, but you can smell them, and especially at night.
It's a tempting tree, but you know, it looks like it would just need a lot of water and maybe some shade to do it best.
I think it does okay without the shade. Once it gets established, it'll take quite a bit of sun.
There's one planted in the front yard just up the street from me that's doing fairly well, but I think that lot was... fill lot, so it's not just the 100% native clay soil, which I have in my yard, and that's what took mine out. I think it stayed too wet.
Why is the citrus in the parking lot of the nursery in Poway doing so well in that awful clay soil?
You've got me, because most of them are doing exceptionally well and produce like crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. We're going to go to the phones, and we're going to talk to Farmer Roy. Good morning. Good morning, Roy. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. You all ready for the class today?
Yes. I'm calling to drum up some excitement to get everybody back into their gardens to plant some fall-winter vegetables.
So that's what you're going over today, I imagine?
Yes, I am. And I saw your... saw your supply of veggies there, so it should be good. Everybody should be excited.
You sound very excited, Roy. I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah, well, I tell you, with post-COVID or COVID, you know, I haven't been able to get out and talk to people and get people excited about gardening, but this is good. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we posted your picture on Facebook for our event, so if nothing else, that'll bring people in.
Yes, your lovely face will.
Your mug.
Now, when you said Farmer Roy, did you say Farmer Roy from Cadence at Poway Gardens, or did you just say
Farmer Roy? No, I just said Farmer Roy.
Farmer Roy at Cadence at Poway Gardens, an assisted living community here, a memory care community in Poway, and horticulture sets us apart.
Remind us of what your garden looks like up there, what you do, and I know you produce tons of crops every year, and lettuce almost year-round.
So we have five little tiny organic gardens that supply over 25,000 pounds of produce for our residents here. And all my off-grade stuff goes to families in need in the area. We have roughly 40, 50-foot rows, and I'm having my best year ever this year. It's incredible. I didn't think we could improve on it, but I guess we're getting better at it. We're shooting for 27 this year.
Wow.
And yeah, it's amazing. It's been a good tomato year. If it's a good year for tomatoes, the numbers go up really quick. So we've had a really good tomato year this year.
Well, I know the tomatoes that you've brought in for us periodically they're outstanding, and they're almost perfect. I mean, there's no blemishes on them,
and they keep well too.
Yeah, I mean, they're really outstanding crops.
Yeah, tomato. You know, I got tomato juice running through my veins. I love tomatoes. So I've been doing it for a long time, and people comment on the flavor, and there's nothing like a good tasting tomato. So we're happy with that.
I still have my green bag for being a presenter at the Master Gardener program. Do you still have, you have enough for me to come up and bring my bag to get my free fill?
Most definitely, yeah. We're pulling out our warm season stuff weekly and putting in our cool season stuff. But, yeah, I should have tomatoes.
I don't know
November.
Where my bag is.
Sorry, George. Yeah. Sorry, Charlie. Yeah.
Well, when you go up, I'll go with you. And while you're talking to Roy, I'll just go get my stuff.
Okay. Okay. I'll distract him.
You distract him for me.
So what time's the class in Poway this morning, Roy? Just to remind you what time to be in. What time are you coming in?
I'm going to come in at 9, but the class is at 9:30.
Well done. Well done.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All righty, sir. I think we're looking forward to seeing you. It's always an interesting time when you come visit us.
It was March of 2020. I think it was March 8th, Roy, was the last time you did a class up there for
us. I believe it was a Tuesday.
Yeah. No, it was a Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All righty, thanks for getting up and calling us.
I'm glad you guys got the classes going again. Everybody needs to hear. Everybody needs to get back in the gardens and keep it going.
Yeah, we're happy to be doing it as well.
All right.
All right, Roy. Care, guys. We'll see you at 9:30, Roy. Thank you.
Adios. Bring the burritos. Bye.
That was Farmer Roy from Cadence at Poway Gardens.
It's a nice little...
Nice little operation.
They have up there.
Nice little operation he's got going up there. And he does grow some of the best tomatoes that I think I've ever had.
And he grows a lot of varieties that we don't carry.
You can't say that because they're not, they're numbers and stuff.
Yeah. It's like
numbers and letters.
But like I said, they're almost perfect. Oh. There's no blemishes on them. I mean, they're just,
yeah.
Are you saying because Roy's growing them, you're shocked that they're blemish free and beautiful, or are you just
anybody that's
no,
growing
just anybody
them,
that's grown
okay,
grown
good,
tomatoes.
Good. I mean, just want to make sure.
I do cherry. I mean, I have cherry tomatoes, and they're all, most of them are all cracked or what. I mean, they have some sort of. But I don't even look. Pop them and eat them, and they're tasty.
I've been doing that with the grapes at night. Right. Have no idea what I'm consuming.
Yeah. Quite frankly, I don't want to think about it.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the flavor's good and
nothing
I'm
stung
happy.
Me and I didn't swell up or anything, so I'm assuming everything's okay.
As far as I know, yeah.
He said he has one of his best tomato years, and I think this is one of my worst ever.
It
was a good year for me. I had a really good year.
It's funny how every people have off years or whatever, and there's no, I mean, typically you can say blame weather or something, but. Something's going on.
I got a really big early water bill, so I stopped watering the vegetables, and it ended my
beautiful year.
Beautiful year, very
early. Ours were impacted significantly by spider mites.
Speaking of good year,
mm-hmm.
Do you know why Goodyear, Arizona is called Goodyear, Arizona?
I have to stay out of the game.
No.
Because they... Goodyear bought tons of farmland there to grow cotton for their tires. That's
really?
How, yes. I figured they must have put a big plant in there and everybody came. But
they
did.
They put a lot of plants.
Ah, ba-dum-bum. So anyway, I guess the little white cord you see in tires or used to see in tires was cotton.
Used to be cotton.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I wonder how long ago that was.
And the reason I was looking that up is the pruning books I was sending to Phoenix, Arizona, go through Goodyear, Arizona. That's where UPS has a distribution facility in Goodyear, Arizona.
That might be about the only thing that's in Goodyear, Arizona.
I think Goodyear, Arizona is a big place now.
Is it?
It is. Isn't it where the pottery is?
Well, there's a couple of spring training camps there.
Yeah, somewhere out there.
Well, they're in Peoria.
Oh, Peoria.
Yeah,
okay.
Somebody else. There's two other teams.
It's probably bigger than Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
Oh. Yes, it is.
More than likely.
I spent a night there once.
Yeah. But what does anybody, you were a car guy, what does the cotton do for the tires? Is it just a binding agent?
Just a binder.
Or is it to, like rebar and concrete
or
something?
It's something for the rubber to stick to.
Yeah,
it
encapsulate
around the rubber. It's like Ford bought a huge amount of land in Brazil and named it Fordlandia, and they were going to grow rubber for Ford automobile, for tires for Ford cars, and they, and he set up this whole utopian,
Fordtopian,
this whole utopian society down there, and it was just a complete failure, complete failure. And now it's all just ruined.
Because
people weren't digging what he had to, what he was putting down, and it was a complete failure. But it was massive. I mean, I can't remember what the total acreage was now off the top of my head, but it was enormous. So, little interesting history bit there. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Did a quick look at the Google machine while we were in the break. And you know, Fordlandia was 5,500 square miles that Ford Motor Company.
And that was a lot of land.
That was to do rubber trees.
For rubber trees.
To produce rubber.
Bought it in 1928, and by 1934, it had failed and been completely abandoned. So,
you know, speaking of Ford and plants, you know, and not the Ford plant, but trees and stuff, charcoal was originated via Ford.
Yeah.
The charcoal briquettes, the Kingsford charcoal briquettes started with Ford.
Kingsford charcoal. It was
in a way to reduce waste. The wood that they were
because
using.
they had so much scrap wood left over from the body works and wheel works also,
right.
Yeah.
And so. Kingsford was a guy that worked with Henry Ford, and they actually first branded it under Ford, and then in honor of Kingsford, who helped him procure all the land to buy the wood, he named it in his honor.
It Kingsford. Wasn't Mr. Kings and Mr. Ford.
No,
interesting.
Yeah, that is.
I would have put that together that way.
There, I actually have something from the, I think it was from the 1936 World's Fair here in San, 35, 36 World's Fair here in San Diego from the Ford Pavilion about Kingsford charcoal. I'll have to look and see if I can find that. It's a little pamphlet about it.
Is that something about San Diego?
Well, it was part of the Ford exhibition here, which was housed in the building that now houses the San Diego Air and Space Museum. That was the Ford Pavilion back at that time.
Interesting.
Yeah, there was Henry Ford also did a lot of experimentation with soybeans and making plastic from soybeans. As a matter of fact, some early ignition parts were actually soy based.
Yeah, some people eat that stuff now.
Yeah, yeah, it's very popular in vegan restaurants.
Quite popular. Yeah,
it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's not.
Well,
if you do it right,
I've always given it a bad rap, but
I
have come around on it myself.
Yeah.
So, talking about cars and vegetation and things like that. I was watching a documentary about Packard back in the late 20s, early 30s. A lot of early coachwork and cars had wood framing to keep everything together. And the Packard Motor Car Company in the late 20s and early 30s they were harvesting hardwood out of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and they were going through, I think they said, 2 million board feet, and a board foot is a 12-inch by 12-inch by 1-inch piece of wood.
2 million board feet of lumber a month building their car bodies and all the related wood that goes with it. And that would, and they would go up, harvest the trees, bring them down, mill it, dry it. It was an incredible operation of what they were doing.
I would have never known that.
Well, I wouldn't have either if it hadn't been for YouTube. That's where it showed up. But yeah, that just blew me away. Two million board feet. That's a lot of wood.
But yes, the trees up in the UP grow well because it rains there.
Oh yeah, they have water there,
and it doesn't rain here. And we're going to have a Santa Ana next week. So should we water our plants more heavily as we approach next week?
Well, that was a smooth transition, George. Well done.
Just curious here.
Yes. Hey,
give them a good soak.
Yeah.
We are expecting a mild to moderate Santa Ana. It's going to get hot next week. And when drying winds start blowing, it is better to get ahead of it and water your plants and trees ahead of it. So Monday is your last day to get ahead of it because it's supposed to start on Monday. So yes, I would water, especially with, well, my avocado, because the avocados are up there. And if the winds come in and blow through and dry that out, they're all going to drop. And they're not even close to ripe. So if you want to harvest your fruit or take care of your plants, yes, George, beautiful segue. Well, not really beautiful, but you got the job done.
Well, I was thinking, you know, and there's also fire hazards that are happening. And we were talking earlier about Sequoia's had a lightning strike and their trees are burning up there. So,
I saw the pictures of the General Sherman tree with fire blankets around the base. It was strange, to say the least.
Yeah, because it only looked like it went up about 6 or 8 feet.
Well, there's not a lot of brush around there, so the fire, if it does burn through there, should burn fairly
low.
Not very hot. Those trees have survived well.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, lightning strikes have been starting fires in forested areas for
houses.
At least a decade.
Since the beginning of time. So. But that was one of the,
that was before we had forest management.
That was one of the problems. When we started setting aside the national parks, people didn't want to go and see a burned out national park. So they came up with the idea sometime around the turn of the last century that when a fire started, you had to put it out as fast as you possibly could, which unfortunately doesn't lead to good forest management. So,
well, we are getting a turn in the weather up in the northern half of the state, and they're expecting some rain up as far south as Tahoe in that area. So hopefully the storms will start moving further south and get things under control.
Yeah, well, I'm optimistic that Lake Tahoe is still going to be there when I go up at the end of the month. So
correct.
Yeah. You're going anyway.
I'm going anyway. Gotcha. We were gonna cancel, but then I just said, you know, no, we'll just go. And I actually haven't heard anything about the Caldor fire recently.
No, I think it's
under control now.
So we're going to water. Do we have, you want to do a, we don't have to remind about Farmer Roy's class, but what's the other class coming up today?
We have bulbs, right? You said Kathleen is teaching that in San Diego.
Kathleen's doing it, yep.
And a plug for next week to get people thinking about next week. On Saturday, you're doing camellias and azaleas at the San Diego store.
Mark's doing it?
On Mark's store. And that's something I'm interested in.
Yeah,
and if that's good, maybe we'll have her come up and do one in Poway. And then we have a unique one. We have Chuck McClung, and those of you that are orchid folks know him from his orchid book. But Chuck's going to come up and do creating a shade oasis, which is going to be interesting because we have a lot of folks that come in and are always looking for plants. They've got a dark spot in their yard. They've got a patio or a big tree, and they want some color. They want to have some green, and they just don't know what to put in there. And so Chuck's going to give us some insight on that.
Very good.
Very good.
He's an interesting fellow, Chuck. Very knowledgeable.
Very knowledgeable. One of the degreed plant guys.
Now, yes. So that we don't get any complaints, before we went into the break at the bottom of the hour, I told everybody that I was going to tell them what avocados I still had in containers alive after a year. I know you guys were waiting to hear. I'm sure that yawn from you, Ken, was just coincidence. But I have a gem, and you know, we have gem avocados at the nursery in Poway right now.
We do?
Yeah.
No, I
missed
those. They're
on the left side. Okay. We have the whole row of them, and then there's a few more on the one side.
In the middle of the citrus?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Gray E. Martin. That's what that stands for.
And who was he?
He was one of the developers of that particular plant up at, I think, UC Riverside.
I had lunch with
Gray E. Martin.
Well, I'm not sure, but I remember it was the did he do the Gwen avocado? Was he the hybridizer?
You know,
of Gwen?
I don't know if he did, but the Gwen was, I think, parentage of.
But so he and Gwen were there, and she told me she had been at the grocery store the day before, and they had Zutano avocados on the shelf, and the sign said "Great for guacamole." So she had to go find the produce manager and let him know that the Zutano avocado is terrible for guacamole. It is not great for guacamole, and they should not put up that sign that says that.
Why is it bad for guacamole?
It's not as oily. It's not as as tasty.
It's not as flavorful.
Flavorful. It's not as high-quality avocado as the others and the newer ones. And so she wanted to make sure that the produce people
because
knew
she was
that.
An avocado person,
and because she had an avocado named after her,
right?
That was Gwen. So anyway, that's my little. I don't remember what the other two avocados I have are.
Well that was a riveting story. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glad we waited.
Yeah. A couple minutes. I'll never get back.
I'll tell you guys next week.
Okay. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with another hour of Garden Talk next Saturday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.